Welcome into Inside LAFC Podcast. I am Max Bretos in the midst of a very exciting week here for the Black and Gold, coming off the big Galaxy victory, getting ready for the, I guess you'd call it a rivalry game against the Portland Timbers. A guy who could answer that, and he will later. Back on the show, co-host Stephen Betashore. How's it going, Beta?
It's going well. It's a good week, good weekend, good result for LAFC against, you know, big rivals. So that's always fun to watch. And it's good to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, always good to see you. And you always pick good weeks. It's the feel-good hour here with Stephen Betashore, who, of course, LAFC's fan base knows and loves. We will preview the Timbers' big game, certainly based on what we saw this weekend. We'll also be joined by Hugo Lloris, the number one goalkeeper there for LAFC. It's an interesting time for goalkeepers. We'll indulge you in that as well. But let us start with the showpiece. And at big 3 points, if this goes any other direction, it could have gone south for LAFC and a lot of questions. But now it's a feel-good. It's a feel-good camp. You can certainly see it. And you, Beta, were here with this club from the beginning. We knew this was going to be a big rivalry, and it's culminated into this LAFC, the kings of the city, and that carries a lot of weight in LA.
Yeah, it sure does. And, you know, it's one of those things, obviously, when you're in such close proximity to another team, you're gonna bash, you're going to butt heads. And from the beginning, from the first game, we just didn't like each other. The way that one went down, obviously, I was on the field for that when Zlatan's first game, and it just every game just escalated from there. And so it was a good result for LAFC last game, 2-1. You know, maybe not the prettiest. Obviously, they'd like to have the ball more, but they got the result. They had better chances for sure, and they won the game. They got the 3 points, and now they have bragging rights till the next game.
We spoke to your guy Harvey last week, and I'm curious to get your thoughts. You touched on it there about where this rivalry started, and it's culminated here. But that first game, I mean, you knew. You took that field. You see the supporters in the stands, and then all – I mean, how quickly did you know? I go, this is the real deal.
I mean, you knew it before the first whistle even blew. That first game in Carson, when we had – I don't know how many, but the whole – LAFC Army 3252 was there, and they were all in the camo. Like, it was amazing. So we knew, man, this is something before the first whistle even blew. And then we go up 3-0. Then, oh, I don't want to go back into it, but then we somehow give that up. It was a good start to an incredible rivalry. I think the league, the fans, other teams, everyone just tunes into these games because it's just excitement, like Hollywood. They can't even write this stuff better. It's so good.
Feels like it's getting bigger and better every game. It felt like the eyes of the world, certainly with the Apple TV deal, were set on BMO Stadium for this. And the game went off, and we always have goals, and we had three more goals. It was a very good defensive effort. We'll get to that in the second half. But let's talk about the way LAFC have played. They had 32% possession, which has to be one of the lowest totals they have had in their history. Yet they doubled the Galaxy shot total. They doubled the Galaxy shot on goal total. I can confirm coming into this game, LAFC leads MLS in both those categories. How could we explain this?
Yeah, I mean, you look at the front three between Bogush, Oliveira, and Buonga, like, those are incredible players alone, single-handedly. But now the three of them up top, it's just so much threat, so much pace, unbelievable 1v1. I know Bogush plays a bit of a false nine to help in the build-out, but when you're able to defend in that low block, the opposition, you're kind of stranded, like, in these 1v1s with a ton of space to defend. It's difficult. And so when someone like Buonga gets the ball, you know, as an outside back, it's not a fun spot to be in when you have that much space to cover in front of you and behind you. And so that's what's going to happen. You're going to give up a lot of shots, which Galaxy did. They gave up a lot of chances. You know, fortunately for them, LAFC only scored two of them. I think they on another night, they could have scored four or five. You know, the Buonga one at the very end, that's a sitter that, you know,
I could have made that one, Beta.
Not even 9 out of 10. 10 out of 10 times this guy scores. I still can't believe he missed that. But, you know, these are very good players. And, you know, I'm going to give Steve Trundle credit the way they played. They got the early goals, I should say. And then they kind of sat back and defended and didn't give space for Peck and Pencil to go in behind, because those are also very fast and quick players. And you can see they were kind of frustrated by that. And I want to give a shout out to Palencia and Hollingshead as outside back myself. They did an incredible job. I think those are the two biggest threats for Galaxy, and they really limited their chances. So, yeah, it was exciting.
Well, the fullback committee always sticking up for each other, as we saw here. Let's put you in that situation, because when you played for LAFC, it was a much different looking black and gold, the way the fullbacks. But you've played in games where you're saying, especially taking a lead early on, where you said, okay, we're gonna play a little lower block. You, take me into the responsibility that you saw as a fullback that Palencia and Hollingshead had to do, not only to maintain that line, but to prevent passage for these two excellent wingers that the Galaxy have, who have been scoring and been so good up to this game. But in this game, they were pretty invisible.
Yeah, yeah. And again, that's why I mentioned Steve Trundolo, and maybe that was their game.
Another fullback.
Yeah, another fullback, exactly. You know, and I'm sure he's talked to Hollingshead and Palencia and Campos when he was here playing, like, look, this is what we're looking for you guys to do. In different games, different moments, we're going to have the ball more, and you're going to be able to get higher in the attack and move freely. That's, at least in 18 and 19 when I was with LAFC, that's kind of what it was like. We had a lot of the ball. We created a lot of chances, but we'd also leave ourselves vulnerable to the counterattacks. That's just the way we played. We wanted to be high octane, high offense, high attack, and exciting and entertaining, right? This is a little bit more composed. All right, you know what? We'll take our chances. We're going to have chances, but let's not leave ourselves so vulnerable to the counter. And you saw Hollingshead, you see Palencia kind of sitting back, keeping everything in front of them, and not just them, the whole back line, the whole group, really. And how many chances did Pencil or Peck have? And those are two of the best players for Galaxy. I want to say the 75th minute was the first real chance that I was like, oh, there's Pencil. He kind of, you know, I think he beat Hollingshead down the line and got a shot or a cross in. I was like, oh, finally, after 75 minutes. So they did a really good job of kind of limiting those chances for the Galaxy.
Aaron Long did a job on Dejan Jovic, and everyone was worried about this game because the Galaxy were unbeaten, scoring goals, three goals, two goals, tons of chances, and then they didn't get them. Is there something in this way? Because remember, the Galaxy and LAFC play two more times. We have that 4th of July game at the Rose Bowl, and then they'll play there at Dignity Health Sports Park as well. These are going to be two teams. I think they're going to be in the playoffs. Did LAFC show something here that they can find a way to frustrate and get a result against their big rivalry, which makes everyone happy, and possibly a team that they could see down the road in the postseason?
Yeah, I think so. Obviously, Galaxy were undefeated up until this point, but I think LAFC might have given out a bit of a blueprint on how to defend them. You know, example, if you watch a few games back, St. Louis versus Galaxy, and Galaxy crushed them because of the way St. Louis played. Such a high line, pressing, full field. You know, St. Louis's back line was pretty much at midfield. That's 50, 60 yards of space in behind that you have to defend. And against someone like Pencil, who was just blazing fast, I think it was the first or second fastest player in MLS this season, you don't want to defend that space behind you. You want to keep the game in front of you. So I think maybe other teams are going to catch on to how LAFC played this. And, you know, everyone loves to have the ball, but honestly, you want to have results over having the ball. Because you can't say LAFC didn't have chances. They had chances. So we'll see. We'll see if teams watch this and say, hey, maybe we're going to try this. Let's sit a little lower block and defend in either a block of six or block of eight, and then and counter and see if we can get some results.
You like to be a little more advanced as a fullback. You don't want to be too far back, personally, speaking to Beta here.
Yes, absolutely. I love to attack. But as a defender, I took pride in getting those clean sheets. So I have to say that.
Yeah, this isn't Showtime LFC from the years past. We get that. But you know what's exciting to supporters is beating your rival. And they did that. They were very composed. They were practical. And they got the result. I want to touch on the direction of this rivalry. I felt it. I didn't know what was going to happen here, Beta, because would it be a good game? But instead, it felt like it took another step towards it. The city, you saw supporters. You saw a big swath of Galaxy fans there. It was very well behaved. We want to give credit to Jimmy Lopez and Pat Aviles, who are involved with the supporters, and it kept a very pleasant situation. There's obviously a lot of banter going on, but just from those beginnings, it wasn't humble. We talked about what happened in that first game to here. Have you seen that? Where's that growth of a rivalry that it's not if, but when it becomes the biggest rivalry in the sport because the two teams reside in the same city? How have you seen the evolution of this Clásico?
Yeah, I mean, it started off with a bang, but it somehow every game, you can just see it. They're not exchanging pleasantries after matches. It's a genuine, I hate to use it, but a little bit of a hatred for each other. Just because you hear a lot of chirping about, you know, we have this many championships. You guys are, you know, the new shiny toy. And back and forth, you guys are in Carson, not in LA. And it's not friendly banter. It's good banter. But there's a bit of hatred there. And that's what you like. That's what you want. That's what the league wants. Fans love it. Everyone tunes in. I remember as a player, you know, all these friends that I have on other teams are texting me like, oh, we're tuning in. Everyone wants to watch these games just because of that rivalry. It's a good match, two good teams, you know. It's not like one's at the bottom of the table, one's at the top, you know, two top teams playing against each other. So you'd love to see it.
That's important, right? I say that, and some supporters go, no, we want to beat the Galaxy when they're rock bottom. We want to humiliate them. But
You always want to beat them.
But as a player, you want them to be good, like they were in 2019 in the playoff game. You exactly. want them to be a target. Is that right? Or is it just good? We're going to run through these guys.
You always want to beat them, but you're spot on. When in 2019, we hadn't beat them yet. We wanted them to make it so that we can play them and beat them for the first time in the playoffs and knock them out. So it's like, man, you guys hadn't beaten them yet and you wanted to play them? Absolutely. Like that's what you love to hear. That's what you love to see. Confidence. And just that's what rivalries are about. Like you want to beat your enemy and knock them out. So yeah.
It was we talked to Harvey about that, and it was like gonna be the Galaxy or Minnesota, whoever won that game would play LAFC. Were people asking you who you would prefer?
Oh yeah, people were asking for sure.
And you said, hang on the Galaxy.
You don't root for someone. That's the weirdest thing, because then the next week you're playing for, wait a second, I was just rooting for this. No. And especially the Galaxy. You're not going to root for them. But if we had our pick, you know, we wanted Galaxy. We wanted that. You know, it was a moment of redemption because we hadn't beaten them at that point. We've had many goals scored. We've had many leads, but no victories. And at the end of the day, that's all that matters. Those 3 points. So, yeah, we got the 3 points. We got the win in the playoffs and knocked them out. So that was all worth it.
I'll get back to the game really quickly. We'll spin it forward. Hugo Lloris, to me, probably his best game. I mean, just very complete with the distribution, some big balls out of the back, two or three key saves. Didn't get the clean sheet. I thought it was Sergi Palencia's best game. I thought it was Kike Oliveira's best game. I thought it was Timothy Tillman and maybe Hugo Lloris.
Yeah.
What impresses you about LAFC's new number one? And keep in mind, they played the number one from last season, John McCarthy, and they'll play Maxime Crépeau, the number one from parts of 2023 and 2022 next week.
Yeah. I thought a lot of, to mention what you were saying, I thought a lot of players had very good games. But Lloris is just one of those guys where he's so calm and just does his job and doesn't make mistakes. And there's something about him. You know, I've had goalkeepers in the past that, you know, a little too energetic, a little too, like, you give up a shot and then they lose their head and they're yelling at you. And you're just like, man, relax. You're a goalie. You're supposed to be there. And sometimes we give up shots and you're supposed to save it. But Hugo doesn't look like he gets too riled up or too low. He's just even keel. And you can tell he has that experience. The guy's won a World Cup. Like, you know, he's been with Tottenham for how many years? Like, he has that experience. He has that calm nature about him as a defender, I would love that. I would love to play in front of him, just knowing that he's back there. If maybe we slip up and give up a shot, that, yeah, he's going to save it. So he's off to a good start.
You had some of the micromanager goalkeepers. You had some vocal guys behind you in the past.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
How was Tyler?
Tyler was good. Tyler was good. I think because he was younger and it was really his first gig at being a starter, he didn't have too many blow-up moments. You know, between myself, between Jordan, Laurent, even Walker, we were the experience. So I don't think he ever had to say something to us. But I've had keepers, especially in my younger days, that just like lose their mind. And you want to lose your mind back at them, but it just doesn't look good. Like,
would you?
There's bickering. I might have had one or two moments. I know Jordan. He had him last week. And he knows this. He's called out some keepers as well. He'll call them out. And it's not in a pleasant voice either. So
I'm shocked. I am shocked. Yeah. I thought you'd be the rowdy one and Jordan would be the calm one, but it's the reverse.
I want to think if, you know, I might have, when he started it and I jumped on the bandwagon with David Alstead. He went off on us one time and Jordan started and I was like, you know what? Bleep, bleep, bleep too. And
during the game.
During the game, yeah. But just doesn't look good. So I try not to do it. And I know Jordan's the same way. It doesn't look good when you're bickering at each other. But at the end of the day, we're all trying to prevent goals from happening. And, you know, maybe goalies do it to get a little energy back in the back line. So I don't know. Who knows? Goalies are another breed.
I don't know what to tell you, Beta. They're out of control. I'm telling you, man. They got to bring it down a notch. But not Hugo.
We love
it. Not Hugo.
Hugo, what I've seen, great. Very, very calm and experienced.
We will talk to Hugo Lloris in a little bit. I'll bring that up about the calmness and see what he says about it. So we'll see if that's part of his MO, his description. Yeah. Let's look towards the Timbers. And I figured a great way to springboard into this conversation is with the latest installment of your favorite part of the show, Black and Gold Rewind. And we are going to look back to the LAFC Timbers game from July 18th, 2018. This was in the quarterfinals of the U.S. Open Cup. Quarterfinals. And by the way, I've spoken to a lot of supporters and a lot of staff for LAFC. Their senior team, and this is going to be a strange year for the U.S. Open Cup with next pro teams. LAFC's senior team is in there. According to everyone I'm talking about, they're going for it. They want to win this trophy. They haven't won it. That was the closest LAFC got. They got to the semifinals.
Yeah.
But tell me why this was so important for the Black and Gold in not only getting an Open Cup game, getting into the semifinals, but building a rivalry with the Timbers team, which was a blank slate. We didn't know it was going to be a big rivalry, but it kind of became that.
Yeah, that rivalry definitely came about organically, very naturally. It wasn't something that was forced. We were obviously first year in the league, expansion team. We were doing a lot better than other teams wanted or expected to do. And Portland, for the most part, is one of those teams that's always at the top. They've got a good home stadium, home fan base. They're always scoring a lot of goals. They're always at the top of the table. So we come in, and now you're playing them in the quarterfinals of the Open Cup, something that they were probably going for. And, you know, we're trying very hard, as, you know, some teams do, some teams don't. But for us, as an expansion team, we were off to a good start in the regular season. But we also knew that was the first chance to win a trophy, you know, and that was important to us. Let's get this trophy and let's go for it. So we went for it. We gave it everything we had. You know, unfortunately, we lost in the semis in Houston on penalties. And so we were this close to hosting the finals in 2018. And I truly, I think Philly lost to Houston that year. We would have absolutely destroyed Philly that year at home. 3-4-0, honestly. Honestly. That Philly team, it's not what it is now. They were not good. We would have crushed them. And so going back to Portland, we wanted to beat them. And something interesting about that game was we played them the regular season maybe 2 or 3 days before. And it was a 0-0 game. And we were very upset. And they were chirping a little bit.
And they you played them and they beat you 2-1. So this is the third meeting, and you're just in the middle of early summer. Three meetings already.
Exactly. So three pretty quick games in close succession, and whatever the game was, maybe a Wednesday, we played and they had better of us at home, which, you know, we were off to a good start. We were doing well and they were chirping and we were pissed. We're like, all right, we're playing these guys in 3 days, Open Cup, and we're going to knock them out. And sure enough, we did. And then we were chirping after. So that rivalry, it really grew organically. And I think, you know, it says something about that rivalry when it's built like that, just on the field. You know what? On the field, you guys are good. We're good. We don't like each other. And we're gonna try to knock you out, similar to how we try to knock Galaxy out.
Oh, it's got to feel good to get him in the quarterfinals too. So close to the finish line.
Yeah.
I can't believe you said that about the Philadelphia Union. You're convinced you make him in the final, you're going to smash him.
We lost to Houston on penalties, right? I think, you know, I love Laurent. If he had finished the fifth kick, we would have gone to the finals.
Yeah.
And we would have won. Houston ended up hosting that game against Philly, and they won 3-0. 3-0 or 4-0. So if
right.
They crushed Philly. Imagine us. We were playing at Houston, and I thought we were the better team that day. Unfortunately, went to penalties. But, you know, we were this close, a penalty kick away from Houston. So if Houston crushed Philly, yes, we would have crushed them even more.
That one stings a little bit, Bate. I'm sure it does, because, I mean, at the time, you didn't know when you're going to win a trophy.
Yeah.
And that was it. It was there at the door. It was so close. And LAFC haven't come that close in the Open Cup since.
Yeah. And personally speaking, it's the only trophy I don't have in my cabinet that I really wanted. I really wanted that one. But also, as a team for LAFC, I think if we won Open Cup or any trophy, a trophy in 2018, I think we're winning everything in 2019. I think, yeah, Supporters Shield, we won. But I think we have that experience. We have that confidence that, look, we won a championship. Now let's go win MLS Cup. Because I think that's what you see now with LAFC. It's a little bit different. They have that experience. They know that they've won it all.
They got it under their belt.
You know, as a player, sometimes that's all you need. Like, you saw it, you've done it. Okay, now let's go do it again. So,
final score of that quarterfinal game, 3-2, so it was close, LAFC. Do you remember who scored the game winner?
For the Open Cup game?
Yes.
I want to say Vela, just because he scored.
He scored the 2-2, or they went up 2.
Dio?
Marco Ureña.
Yeah? Oh, wow. I love Marco. What a great guy.
Might be his best moment. I mean, he was – Mark, as we know, Marco's story in 2018 was he had so many chances. He hit the post, hit the crossbar. He was snake bit a little bit. But that was one he scored. And
that must have been a great feeling, because there was a game where he went for a long stretch without scoring. But he was playing so well and creating so many chances, getting a lot of assists. And we were heartbroken for him, because he was devastated after one of the games. So I'm glad to hear that, you know, it was a while ago, but I'm glad that he did score the game winner.
We're going to hope to get him on this program. He was last playing in Australia. He played very well. So hope to get Marco on here at some point in the future. I know people would like to. Let's talk about this Portland and preparing for this game. LAFC. You've been on when they've won these home games, and you've previewed the next games. We previewed Colorado. That got away. Mm-hmm. LAFC, 3 away games, 3 losses. Without take out the snow game, the other ones, they were in the mix for it.
Yeah.
This is, for all that you were able to achieve beating the Galaxy, you need to do something here, right? Against a Timbers team that has not played well. They give up a lot of goals. They're going to face Maxime Crépeau. They were trailing a game 3-0. To Sporting Kansas City, came back to get a tie. I don't think they've won a game in the last 4, but this is – how do we approach this if you're LAFC? You want to keep that momentum. And, man, if you get a win over LA Galaxy and then a win over Portland, your season all of a sudden, the switch is on.
Yeah, for sure. You know, it's going to be tough. I want to say they're low on confidence because, you mentioned it, they haven't won the last 4. 3 losses, 1 tie, the last game against Kansas City, where they were down 3-0. But – as a player, I don't know if this is going to work in their favor or not. When you come back on the road, down 3 and tie 3-3, get a result, that's going to give you a little confidence. It's crazy what this confidence does for players, for goal scorers, for the team. So LAFC should be a little weary. Like, okay, you know what? I know they're on a bad streak right now, four games winless, but they should go in there really and treat it like they're the underdog. Obviously, they're on the road, and Timbers Army, their fan base, they do a great job, and it's never an easy place to play. But they need to go there with that mindset. Like, all right, you know what? These guys are going to bring it. So we need to bring our A game. Otherwise, it's going to be a tough game because they are a good team. They have good individual players, but they're leaking a lot of goals. I think they've given up 14 on the season. They've scored 14, but that's not a good recipe for results. You want to score more than you're giving up. And so it's going to be a good game. No one wants to talk about the turf, but the turf is an issue. That is home field advantage. They're used to that turf. But LAFC has to go in there and be ready for a bit of a dogfight and a tough match. If they go in there soft, thinking it's going to be an easy game just because they're on a bad four-game streak, game's over. They're not going to win. So hopefully they have the right mentality.
LAFC has not been historically good on the turf, but they won at Seattle in the postseason. They've had success against the Whitecaps up there last year. So I think they've kind of gotten over that hump, but that was an issue before. This is going to be an early kickoff, 1:30 local time. How do you think the guys approach it? You know, we talked about the lower block and how they're going to come in here, certainly on the road. If LAFC is going to play a little more, let the other team have possession at home, I would imagine similar situation away.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a similar situation. I know Anthony is an incredible player for Portland. You know, another guy that you don't want to give too much space. He's not as fast as maybe the Galaxy wingers, but he's very tricky. And so if you can play a lower block, you're going to be more compact. And that means more players around the ball. Atuesta, Illy will be able to shift over, and whether that's Palencia or Hollingshead being isolated 1v1, now you're going to have 2v1 defensively, which you love to see against players like that. The tricky players, they can go left, they can go right. So I expect them to go into the lower block and try to counter. They'll have lots of chances, but you know, again, they have to have that mentality. It's going to be a dogfight. They're going to have to put that same effort that they did this weekend against Galaxy on the road against Portland in front of a big crowd, good crowd. So it's going to be a tough match. It's not going to be easy, but I think they can get the victory.
Ooh, getting the first road win. We're calling it.
I think so. Going off of the Galaxy, the highs of beating your rival onto the next rival. Yeah, I think so.
This would be just massive. And we can't underestimate how big this is for the Timbers. And you mentioned Antony, and they have Evander, and they have Cabecita Rodriguez, who was once connected to coming to LAFC. They have Maxime Crépeau. I can't imagine. He's got to be. I mean, he had to join Portland. I mean, he circled the Vancouver game because of history there without question. And he is beloved here. The supporters love him. I was at the Performance Center. His family showed up earlier this season, and they were, you know, absolutely welcome with open arms. Yeah. There's some good feelings there. Look, he got injured in the biggest game, so that they'll never take that away. I think we saw that with John McCarthy too. There was a respect, even though he's an opponent. Yeah. But Maxime knows he's a competitor, right? He's gonna be like circling that calendar, going, I'm getting this one.
He for sure, as a former player, he for sure circled those two dates. I felt bad for him against the Whitecaps because they gave up some goals. And as a keeper, that's the last thing you want to do. So he is going to rally the troops against LAFC and be like, guys, I'm begging you, please don't give up any shots, don't give up any goals, and let's win this game. So he's going to try. He's going to try, but it didn't work against Whitecaps, so hopefully it doesn't work again against LAFC.
Great stuff, Beta. Just quick pecking order of the rivalries. Give me your top three. Obviously, Galaxy's one. Yeah. Portland, Seattle, Salt Lake. How would you put number two and three rivalry right now?
Portland and Seattle right there. It's really just – it's out of respect because they've always been so good. So I'll put Seattle just above them just because, you know, they've been a little bit better than Portland. And then I'll go Portland as three and then Salt Lake four because of 2018 knocked us out. With two shots on goal, but somehow you got three goals. I'll never let that go. Never.
I'm sorry to bring it up, but I mentioned that because, you know, San Jose's not there. They haven't really built that rivalry with them. Some of the Texas teams you could think, but not quite the New York teams.
No. Those are the four in that order. Galaxy, Seattle, Portland, Salt Lake. Everyone else, I just feel like it's just pure domination on LAFC's part. So it's not a rivalry if it's a one-way street.
Stamp it.
Yeah.
The beta stamp of approval.
Yeah.
Good stuff, beta. We'll look forward to it. They play the Portland. They'll play Portland down at BMO a couple weeks after this game. So they'll have Portland out of the way, and then we'll see. Maybe down the road. I think Timbers will be good down the road, but this is going to be a really good game. Appreciate your time. We'll see you very soon as we wax poetic and look back at the history of LAFC.
Yes, always great seeing you. Looking forward to it.
My man, Stephen Banisher. We're going to get him out to LA soon, so we'll keep you tuned to that. We'll be back here on Inside LAFC. Goalkeeper Hugo Lloris will join us on the podcast. That's coming next. You don't want to miss it. We are back here on Inside LAFC podcast. I guess we have waited for some time, and we're thrilled to welcome in Hugo Lloris, LAFC's number one goalkeeper, joining us here. And Hugo, we're gonna jump around a little bit, but I gotta ask, your first LAFC Galaxy game, your expectations coming in, and how did you see it after the 90 minutes?
So it's better when you win, no?
Yes, true.
But it's better than I expected. You know, the atmosphere was amazing. I got my three kids at the stadium, and they really enjoy the game and the atmosphere. The fans are just incredible, and I was even more pleased for them than for myself, you know, because they deserve this win.
You've been part of some big rivalries, obviously, with your days in Tottenham Hotspur, with Arsenal, and multiple rivals, and back in your days at Nice as well. We know the Southern French derbies. When you see a young derby like this, where would you put it, and what are the things it does well, and where are those things that you see it growing?
I play many derbies at Nice and then in Lyon, and because Lyon there is a big rival, is Saint-Etienne, and is one of the hottest derby in France. The atmosphere is just amazing. And then in London is a bit different because there is so much rivalry, so much clubs. The main one is the North London derby, it's Arsenal. There is also against Chelsea, against West Ham is huge. So, but to be honest, the Trafico is belong to those type of derbies. You know, you can feel the rivalry. I believe that we play at a very good level of football. It reminds me, you know, a big game in Europe, and I think we showed a lot of discipline, and we could have added one or two more goals. You know, I think we deserve to score at least one more goal. But in terms of atmosphere, the fans singing, you know, from the start until the end, you know, it's it gave us like an extra boost, and it's almost like we play with 12 men, you know, on the field. So yeah, it reminds me a lot, you know, this warm feeling that you can feel, you know, in different places in Europe.
You reminded me here with Lyon and Saint-Étienne. Do you and Denny ever talk a little?
No, Denny was, I don't know where, still at the academy. Yeah. So I left Lyon in 2012. So I never played against Denny. I watched Denny playing in the French league, but I never played against him. But he also played a few derbies at this time.
Oh, but just, do you guys talk about it and say, hey, Lyon and Saint-Étienne, you know, when they play each other coming up?
I think next season, because Saint-Étienne is going
coming
to
up.
Normally, if the things are going right, they should be in League One next year, and probably we will talk about the derby next season, for sure.
Does it comfort you? I mean, there's a very European contingent with this club, more so than ever before. And although Denny represents Gabon, grew up in France, Sergi played in France. Did that help your transition to LAFC?
Well, there's a lot of, I would say South American players also in the changing room. I used to be part of them, you know, in Tottenham, in Lyon as well, in Nice. I don't know. I always had a good connection with the Argentinian, Uruguayan, Colombian, I'm not discovering something new in the changing room. It's just many players from different places, but at the end of the day, we are all together in the same changing room, wearing the same jersey and defending our club. So, but I really enjoy my time at LAFC, and we have a great group of guys, and I'm looking forward to play even more games and more important games in the future.
On and off the field, Hugo, you strike me as very comfortable here. Like you were meant to be in LA. You've been here, what, 2 months, 2.5 months? What are the things that you've really, I mean, you've mentioned how much you appreciate on the field, but off the field, living in LA, things that you have, that you've really enjoyed?
It's the kind of life that I really like, you know. Outside the field, I can spend a lot of times with my children and, you know, playing in the garden, enjoying the sunshine, also discovering, you know, different places. Last weekend, we went to San Diego. You know, we went to Santa Monica, Beverly Hills, Malibu. You know, we like to discover new places. California is just an amazing place. But there's so many things new for us that we take time by you know, weekend after weekend we try to, you know, to discover the area. But it's been really good so far. My children are enjoying their school time as well, so it's perfect.
You've had an interesting. You're preparing to take on Portland. It's going to be a difficult foe, but just. The road trips as well. We obviously know about what happened in Salt Lake, and you were up at the altitude, Colorado. How has the road trips been? And just off the field for you, but also on the field, where this team is looking to play the way you play at home and get the similar results away.
Yeah, I believe we need to adapt a little bit playing away from home. We need to find the confidence back. And sometimes, you know, it's by doing easy stuff, going back to basics, you know, and we have the quality. I'm not worried about that. But it's very interesting because for me, it's completely new. Going to one place, from one place to another, it's like a different temperature, different condition. Different kind of pitch, you know, it's a time difference, and so it's quite fun, and I'm still adapting, you know, to this kind of travel, but it's really fun, and it increases, you know, the level of focus that you need for that competition, and hopefully we will get the right rhythm to get more consistency into result and in our performance.
I'm curious, when you're at Tottenham Hotspur, how many times did the team actually get on a plane with your proximity to so many London clubs? How many times did you go to airport? How many times did they take the bus?
Well, I would say you share, you know, half of the team you're going to fly and the other half by coach, you know. So everything that is near Birmingham or in London or in the south of England, you go by coach, no, and everything up there, Manchester, Liverpool, Newcastle is by plane. But but to be honest, to compare that time of traveling is you need to look about European competitions and probably you have to go from east to west, or west to east in Europe. So
it's yes, no shortage of European travel for you in your career. So obviously that probably helps the transition to MLS, where you have to get on the airplane, get to the airport. My co-host Stephen Betashore, we were talking about you in the Galaxy game, but throughout the season, there's a calmness about you. maybe not so vocal with the defenders. Very, you know, it's the volume level's not too high when you're communicating. Is that something that you were always like? Is that an important way to, I guess, how is your best way to communicate with the defenders, especially with set pieces and all of that?
Yeah. So I talk quite a lot on the field, but the problem is with the atmosphere, you cannot hear, you know? So I'm more focused on my defenders because I think I cannot reach my midfielders or offensive players. They are too far and they can't hear me. But that's the way I like being goalkeeper, you know, bring calmness and try to be the most efficient as I can and then try, you know, to always get the right position. And then also when we attack, you know, you are the first attacking player, you need to, you know, everything starts from the goalkeeper and you need to take the right decision, you know, when you're ball in your feet. So even if I'm still learning, you know, all of my teammates, but I think there is a really good connection and I think there is more to come. Yeah.
You talk about that distribution. There's been some moments, not just with your feet, but with your arms, to get things in motion. I mean, how have you introduced that into your game? And when and has the club said, if you see that, let's go? I mean, you get that ball, you see a pass you can make, and it seems like you can make most passes and even throw the very distance. How important is that for you to have that in your arsenal?
You know, as a goalkeeper, you have the possibility to manage the tempo of the game, you know, and it's part of the game reading. So at some point, you know, you need to feel the game, what's going on around you. If you feel that the team is ready to attack, so you can play quick, you know, or sometimes they need a rest, so you need to keep the ball and probably let them breathe, you know, get a few seconds and then playing again back from the back. But that's managing your game, you know, so that's why it's really important to understand the players around you. But it's been really good so far, even if we need to improve our away from home performances. But at home, I really feel confident, you know, on and off the pitch, because also the crowd is helping us a lot.
What are the things that you would like to accomplish here? You started every game. I would point out to you, it's very rare for a player to come from overseas and hit game after game. So you feel very comfortable. What are things you would like to continue to work on as you settle in even more with LAFC and Major League Soccer?
I'm just enjoying, you know, week after week. I think right now the main target is to win the game away from home. I don't look you know, too far, but I really feel the potential of the team, you know, what it's the last performance show a bit what we are capable to do at a high level. I'm not surprised, because when I see the quality at every single session that we spend together, for sure there is even more to come. But you know, in my career, I've never looked too far. You know, I just go game by game, and I know that the target is to reach the playoff. But for me, we need to finish as high as we can, you know, in your regular season, and then the playoff is a different competition. So it's but really happy, you know, to be part of this team, to be part of the club, and you know, I just enjoy being an LFC player, and I try to deliver the best I can.
Well, Hugh, it feels like you were meant to wear that shirt for LAFC. It feels so comfortable. You've been absolutely wonderful with us and so many people. A couple quick questions before we part ways. Big tennis player, have you been hitting the courts here in Los Angeles?
No, not yet. No.
We can get a good doubles game going.
Yeah, why not? We need to organize it.
I'm not getting on a tennis court with you, Hugo. When we spoke to you at the beginning of the season, we got some footage of you playing tennis. I am not getting on a court with you.
Yeah, but yeah. we can organize, you know, for sure. It can be fun.
Good. You mentioned that to us, but that really helped your, that helps your soccer game, footwork, etc., playing other sports, in particular tennis?
So I grew up mixing tennis and football, and then I had to decide when I was 11 or 12 years old, so I was already very early in my life, but I tried to carry on a little bit, but you know, as soon as I started to be a professional player, I just play once a year, and I play probably 1 week a year when I'm in a holiday. It's not enough. So the feelings are coming really, really fast. You know, they're coming back really fast. So after half an hour, I can feel the ball really well. But and then you need to practice every day. It's a hard sport, very mental, and so you need to repeat and repeat. So, but yeah, I will have plenty of time later.
Yes, yes, of course. when you switched to football, it was. I'm curious, who were your goalkeeping idols? There was something that drew you to football, a young player. Obviously, you were very good, but were there things that you said, that's what I want to do. I want to be like that person.
Well, reference at that time was the French national team, you know, who won the World Cup in 1998. So the goalkeeper was Fabien Barthez. So it's he's known worldwide, and he had an amazing career. And so was the first, you know... I would not say idol, but first kind of goalkeeper that inspired me. And then obviously there was a generation of goalkeeper like Casillas, Buffon. I liked also Julio Cesar, Dida. I can mention a lot of goalkeepers, you know. But mainly I would say Barthez, Casillas, and Buffon.
You've played in two World Cup finals, and we've talked to you about that. But do you remember the 98 final where you were? Remember that day?
Yes, I was in holiday in the south of France with my grandparents. It was just crazy. Yeah, it was crazy in the country.
That was one of my favorite finals. Fantastic. Obviously, it had to be a great moment for France. And well, Hugo, we appreciate your time, and we wish you the best of luck. In Portland, Paul said he wants donuts next week. So I don't, you know, that's
yeah. Hopefully, yeah. Every clean sheet, yeah. It's
the reward. It's a donut, so, yeah. He's out of control.
I need to do it for Paul. Yeah, otherwise he will not be happy.
Hugo Lloris, goalkeeper of LAFC, joining us here on Inside LAFC Podcast. We appreciate you tuning in every week. A reminder to rate, review, download, subscribe, tell a friend, check us out where you get your podcasts, also here on YouTube and on Apple TV. And we'll be back next week, talk Portland and spin it forward as we head into the spring. So long, everyone.